This texter says, John, this is my 40th reunion at Northwestern, and we were all reminiscing about the tuition back then going up to $5,400. This year, the tuition is over $62,000. That's the tuition. People who are complaining about loan forgiveness because they were able to pay off their loans maybe don't realize how much tuition has gone up. Mike Miller is a professor of economics at DePaul University. Michael, welcome back to WGN.
It's great to be with you, John, on a very important topic.
I wonder what the equivalent is of $5,400 40 years ago, but not only has tuition kept pace with inflation, but I think college is just too expensive, period.
Yeah, you know, if you look at the components of the Consumer Price Index, it turns out that the portions that have increased the most dramatically are healthcare, college textbooks, and college tuition. That left like 2 to 3 times the overall rate of inflation.
Why is
so,
that?
It has to do with what colleges are offering in terms of they want to be able to attract students with very nice facilities. And then a lot of the expense, of course, of a university is people. And you have to pay higher healthcare costs and things like that. So a lot of the costs of college are somewhat beyond the control of the college, and the others are trying to attract the students. You need to have really nice facilities, and you have to have lots of administrators to make the students have a good life there. And it's very expensive to do that.
The Washington Post has just reported that tomorrow the White House will make finally their latest announcement about student loan forgiveness, and that the president's been looking at $10,000 in cancellation per borrower under $125,000. We don't know that that's what's going to happen, but what would you think if that did?
Well, you know, I try to think of a nice, straightforward way to explain what is the economic impact of such an action. Now, we have to understand that it costs us something, and it will cost, if we give $10,000 forgiveness to all people that have debt, it will cost the federal government $230 billion. Now, here's the rub. What if I told you, you're going to give me a dollar, and I'm going to give you some economic activity in return, and what I'm going to give you in return is somewhere between 8 cents and 25 cents. It doesn't sound like much of a deal, does it, to pay a dollar and get, say, let's use the top number, 25 cents of expanded economic activity.
How is it not a dollar, Michael? I mean, if you give me a dollar to now spend that I don't have to pay on my student loan, am I not going to spend most of that on cars and food and clothes?
No, well, certainly there will be some of that because it will raise people's credit score because they'll have less debt and that will allow them to borrow more. But we know that a majority of the debt is held by people in higher incomes, not lower incomes. Something like 70% of the debt is held by people in the top 50% of income distribution. And when I give you a marginal dollar, you don't just spend that dollar. Part of it is saved. Part of it pays off your existing other kinds of debt or goes into savings accounts. And what drives the economy in the short run, of course, is spending. So our evidence is that the people who will be receiving the money are not necessarily those who would be most in need. And one other thing, let's say we give someone a $10,000 reduction in their debt. We don't give them $10,000. The only thing that happens is that they have to make a less of a payment over time because they owe less money. Mm-hmm. But, you know, a lot of the people are currently not paying at all because of the moratorium, or they're in arrears. They just have stopped paying it back. So there will be almost no fundamental change in people's cash flow. And therefore, the amount of economic stimulus that you would get from this program would be quite minimal.
Maybe we should then at least write that bad debt off, let these people sleep better at night, and take 8 to 25 cents on the dollar. Banks do that all the time with credit loans. But let me ask you this. Is there another way? And maybe I'm wrong about that, but I'm just wondering, what else could you do with a dollar investment to better stimulate the economy, to get dollars flowing? And talk to me about the impact on inflation. The Washington Post just reported that tomorrow the president will say something about student loans, and the expectation is $10,000 of forgiveness. if you're making less than $125,000. Michael, does that solve part of the problem that you were talking about? That is, you said a lot of the debt is owed by people who are comfortable. But if the threshold is less than $125K, maybe it should be $75K. But doesn't that satisfy part of your concern that forgiveness goes to people who don't need it?
That could be the answer, but based on what I've been reading, and of course we don't have the details until tomorrow, that is for an individual, and for a household, it's twice that, so it would be $250,000, which would encompass, I think, 95 or 90% of all households in the country. So it pretty much is affecting almost everybody, but the highest paid lawyers and doctors and so forth. So I don't think it's going to have a distributional effect that we would consider positive.
How else could we spend a dollar to, I don't know, I don't know if the objective needs to be to help these people, but maybe we should consider that. But what do you think would be the best investment of a dollar?
Well, that would, boy, you could ask 20 people and get 20 answers. It could have something to do with basic research and trying to cure cancer, or it could be the space program. It could be more on education at the K through 12 level. That's one thing that economists always talk about, but it's called opportunity cost. So this is going to cost us about $230 billion. And that's going to wipe out the entire deficit reduction that was in the brand new act that just passed last week. So that it pretty much undoes everything that we were told would happen last week with the Deficit Reduction and Inflation Reduction Act. So it's a case of, you know, where does the government put its money? And of course, the money needs to be targeted. It needs to go to places that have a higher rate of return. And I think there's got to be a lot of things that have a higher rate of return than 8 cents on the dollar or even 25 cents on the dollar.
What about my observation before the break that banks are forever taking pennies on the dollar as debt settlement? Maybe the government should do that too. If you get 25 cents on a buck, that's better than a lot of credit card companies settle for.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. You know, there is what we talk about in economics, something called a moral hazard. And a moral hazard is a policy which actually prompts people to behave badly instead of, say, more frugally. So let's say that we do forgive this debt because, you know, even if we're going to, it's not going to have the impact that we want. People going forward could say to themselves, well, you know, I was going to go to the community college. Why not go to that more expensive private school, borrow all the money, because there's a really good chance the government will bail me out when I can't make my payment.
You mean again?
So the students, yeah. And so it leads, that's what we call the moral hazard. It leads you to a behavior which is negative as opposed to positive.
Well, here's what you do.
On top of all the problems.
Well, then what you do is you wag your finger in front of America and you say, I'm going to do it this one time, but don't come at me again, mister, because this is not going to happen again.
Yeah, we tried that with immigration, you know, in 1986, and that doesn't happen.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about there, Michael?
Oh, in terms of, you know, that Ronald Reagan said, I'll make all these illegals into citizens as long as you close the border. And, of course, that never happened. You make many promises and wag your finger and
all right.
Okay, now we have 11 million or whatever, the 20 million illegals, and we want to say we need to help them out. And we aren't going to do this again. We know darn well that we will probably do it again.
I would certainly patriate those people, though. We do need them.
Oh, see,
them.
Now, yeah, that,
we do
I'm not
need
saying
them.
I'm against it. I'm not saying I'm against it. I'm just saying we have to think of the consequences of the policy itself.
Here's a text. John, both of my children have college debt, one $7,500, the other about $32,000. And at the end of grad school, have about $55,000. For them, $10,000 will make a huge difference in the ability to buy a car or a home. This is a positive for the economy. What do you say to that, listener?
It is a positive for that person. Now, here's one thing I noticed in some of the details. A lot of the repayments on debt have to do with your income. And if your income doesn't change, even if the amount you owe has gone down, you're still going to have to pay the same amount per month to pay off this debt. So the cash flow, these people will have higher FICO scores because they will have less debt, but they're not necessarily going to be freeing up a lot of more money that they could use then to buy other products.
Right.
So
Imagine the good fortune of the person who owes $9,995 their loan. I mean,
that's for sure.
That will be anybody under 10K. This will be a noticeable cash positive thing for them, if in fact they have not been participating in forbearance. What happens to inflation, Michael Miller?
Well, its effect will be small, but it will be counter to what we would want, because let's say it does free up some money, $100 or $200 a month. You know, we are in an economy that is where there's still supply chain problems, and this would raise the amount of demand. So demand and supply would be further out of whack, and that tends to put pressure on prices to rise. Now, I would think the amount of effect on that would be quite small, maybe, you know, 1/10 per year or something. It wouldn't be much, but it would actually add to inflation as opposed to taking away from inflation.
As an economist, do you care about all of the people who have paid their loans and didn't get the forgiveness? I mean, maybe somebody today is making their last student loan payment and are just going to miss forgiveness. Is that an economic concern from your standpoint?
Well, it certainly is in terms of incentives and so forth, and just downright fairness. Now, economists have much less to say about fairness. Philosophers do more on that than economists per se. Yeah. But, you know, we did that with my son. We told my son, you finish college and we'll pay off your debt. And we wanted to be able to, you know, reduce the amount of debt he had so he could buy a house or a car or whatever. And we kind of feel stupid now. We paid it off way early. You know, we had a 25-year payment plan. We paid it off in less than 10 years. And now we really feel kind of dumb. Why did we not wait and get rid of the debt through government making him not pay it back?
Maybe you're a principal.
There's a real fairness problem.
Yeah, but you're right. I think that I don't want economists to worry about fairness. I want politicians maybe to worry about that and the consequences of it. But I mean, maybe the highest moral ground is to say that I didn't get a benefit doesn't mean I should deny it to you.
I agree.
There's nothing wrong with that policy either. It might not get you reelected, but I think I quoted Paul Wellstone before you came on. We all do better when
and
you probably fell over, but we all do better when we all do better, right?
Oh, I happen to agree with that. You know, I want people to go to school and whether it be community college or learning how to weld, some kind of training, and when they do better, we all do better. And that's true even, you know, you look at Mexico or you look at other countries. I want Mexico to do well because it will make their country stronger. There will be fewer people that feel they have to come north and take that dangerous trek across the border and all the uncertainties that go with it. And yes, I want other people to do well. But remember that there is a cost, and you have to, it's a cost-benefit calculus, and you have to figure out, how much do I have to pay to make this happen, and what will be the benefit, looking at all, you know, looking at all groups, not just the group that's benefited.
If, in fact, this announcement comes down in the next 24 hours, I'll give you a call again, Michael. I hope you can join us.
I'm sure we can. Thanks a lot, John.
Michael Miller is an associate professor of economics at DePaul.